Hebrews chapter 3. I want to continue whenever I'm given the opportunity to preach some messages from the book of Hebrews. You know, most of the time when we read the book of Hebrews, rightfully so, well, we look at the book of Hebrews and just from a glance we say, well, that's a book of doctrine about the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is much better. You know, when you read through the book of Hebrews, if the only way you look at the book of Hebrews is a book that teaches the doctrine of Christ, man, you are missing it all. You are missing it all. It's not, yes, it is a book about the doctrine of Jesus Christ, but it is so much more than that. It is so much more than that. I want us to begin by looking at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. Remember now, this is God who has given us His Word through an unnamed source. The name of the author is not given to us. This is a message from God to you and me. And God says this, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank this evening for thy word. Lord, thank you for folks getting saved. Thank you for Mark getting saved and Nasir and Nassim getting saved and baptized. And thank you for Derek getting saved and baptized. And Lord, thank you for the change that you make in our lives. And Lord, thank you for the evidence of Christ in the lives of these young people as they follow you and live for you. And we give you all the praise and glory. Teach us now and encourage us now, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, it says, "Wherefore we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us," right? Right? It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." Then it says this, "Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own mind." You know, the book of Hebrews is a book about the Christian life, about the race that we are in. The Christian life is a race, and it's not a sprint. It's a long race. I mean, it's a long... Derek has run some long races. Derek, what's the longest race you've run? 100. That guy has run 100 miles. You imagine that? 100 miles. Well, no, we'd all tell you that. Your wife will tell you that if you listen to her, right, Lauren? Okay, all right. But he's run 100 miles. Now, listen, there's a lot of young people in our church that like to run. I was just driving back from Willimantic, scared Danny half to death on the road today. Poor guy's running down the road, and I'm on the other side, and you know, then he looks and sees the bumper and says, "Oh, that's my pastor," right? And he ran 10 miles today. But I tell you, if I was going to look for advice on how to run, which I am not, if I get up and go out for a run, all it teaches me is I'm out of shape and need to go home and rest. But if I was going to look for advice on how to run, sorry, Danny, I wouldn't go to you. Kevin, I wouldn't go to you. Levi, I wouldn't even go to you, although I know you know it all, okay? You know who I'd go to? I wouldn't even go to my pastor. I would go to Derek. I would go to Derek. And I would say, "Derek, I want you to write me a book on instruction about how to run this race, how to run such a long race." And Derek would be able to write a book on how to run a long race. He's been through it. He not only knows about it, he's experienced it. And he would not only be able to write a book, but he's an example. He could coach us and be an example because not only has he run the race, but I think you finished it, didn't you? Or maybe Lauren did, but no. But he finished it. We won't talk about how he grumbled and mumbled and complained all the way afterwards, but he finished. You see, not only does he have the knowledge, but he has the experience. And you know what the book of Hebrews is about? The book of Hebrews is God telling us and encouraging us as we run this race to listen and look to his son, Jesus Christ. He says, you need to listen to him. I have sent him with a message about me. I've sent him to tell you all about me. He says, but you also need to look and follow him because he has run the race and finished the course. And by the way, he won the race. He is set down on the right hand of God. He's waiting for the rest of the race to be finished so he can receive the prize. But you know, when you read, I'd encourage you, read through the book of Hebrews and read how many encouraging phrases there are in there from God. Like hold fast, draw near, draw nigh, exhort one another. Over and over and over again, God is encouraging us to not falter, to not quit, but to finish our course. You know, Paul writes about his course in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 for a moment. Paul writes this. Paul writes this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, in verse number 6, he says, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. He says, I have finished my course. You know, that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. Encouraging us to finish our course, to finish our race, to be faithful unto the end. Paul says, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love is appearing. Paul writes, and someone might ask, well, Paul, how did you run the race? How did you finish the course? Paul, how did you make it to the end? How did you do so well? How did you complete the course without quitting, without getting weak in your mind, without fainting, without stopping along the way? And you know what Paul would tell you? Paul would tell you, first of all, he says, you know what? He says, it all goes back to where my faith is. Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And Paul would go on, he says, but it's not only knowing who I believed in, but it's keep my eyes focused. You know, one of the things about a race is you got to keep your eyes focused, folks. In everything in life, you got to keep your focus right. You lose focus, you let your eyes drift to the right or to the left, and pretty soon you are all off course. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter whether you're sailing a ship. It doesn't matter whether you're running a race. It doesn't matter whether you're plowing a field. You need to keep your eyes looking straight on. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Let your eyes turn not to the right hand nor to the left. And you know what Paul says in the book of Philippians? In the book of Philippians chapter 3, Paul says this. Paul says this. He says this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul says, here's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul says? Paul says, man, I'm keeping my eyes on that finish line. I'm keeping my eyes on that calling. I'm keeping my eyes on that prize. I'm not going to look to the other side. I'm just going to keep my eyes looking straight ahead until I cross that finish line and hear my Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Paul would go on to say this let me find it. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul would go on to say this. You might say, well, Paul, how do you do that? How do you do that? Paul would say, by faith. Just as Hebrews says, we walk by faith, we run by faith. It's all by faith. And he would say this, I'm crucified with Christ. Verse 20, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what Hebrews is all about? Hebrews is all about this. Number one, it's about listening to Jesus Christ. First three chapters, God is telling us to wake up and listen to his son. He says, wake up, listen to my son. Be careful to listen to my son. And then the next few chapters, God is saying, and look at my son. Observe my son. Consider my son. And then it's learn about my son and learn from my son. And then it's live by faith in my son. It's about listening and looking and learning so that we can live this life and not be distracted, not be deterred, and finish our course with joy, the race that God has set before us. You know, every race has different obstacles. Every one of our races is different. We each have a different course in a different race. And you know, Hebrews chapter 11 is all about the things that could have hindered and caused those folks to stumble along the way. Every one of those people that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the challenges that they faced, they could have stumbled at. They could have fell. They could have departed. They could have had a heart of unbelief and turned away and never finished the course, just like Demas. Paul says, he's forsaken me, having loved this present world. Doesn't tell us why, doesn't tell us the circumstances, but it says, you know what? He didn't finish with joy. He didn't finish with joy. And yet Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter that gives us one witness right after, one testimony right after. Yes, there were challenges. Yes, there were difficulties. Yes, there were obstacles. Yes, there was temptations to quit. Yes, we were weary. Yes, we hungered. Yes, we were discouraged. Yes, all those things. But we kept our eyes on Jesus Christ. And we kept trusting in God. And we kept our eyes focused on the prize. And by God's grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we finished our race. And that's what God wants for us. You know, God doesn't want you to quit. God doesn't want you to fail. God wants you to finish. God wants you to be strong to the end. Strong to the end. And so in Hebrews chapter 3, I want to just give you very, very briefly tonight. I'm going to try to be short. Maybe I'll duck down. Anyways, that's the only way I can be short. But Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1, look what it says. Wherefore. Now that word wherefore means you got to look back at what God has said. You got to look back at what is said previously. And it's looking back to verse number 9 of chapter 2. Well, it's looking all the way back to chapter 1, where it says God has spoken to us unto his son. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He says, we need to listen to the Lord. And then it comes down to the verse number 8, or verse number 7. Thou hast made him little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under his feet, under him. But now, well, now we see not yet all things put under him. And God is saying, listen, I know right now you don't see the finish line. You don't see that everything's complete. He says, because Jesus Christ is on my right hand, waiting, expecting until God makes his enemies his footstool. He says, but what we do see, what we can look at, what we can observe, what we can learn from is the life of Jesus. As he walked on this earth, and finished his race that God set before him and is set down on the right hand of God. And he says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Our captain, folks, Our captain was made perfect through the things that he suffered, through what he went through as he ran his race. Because every race is challenging. Every race is difficult. Every race is hard. Every race is long. And it says, our captain, the captain of our salvation, was made perfect. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered, the Bible says. But it says this, for both he that sanctifieth and they who sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You know, in chapter 3 and verse 1, the writer says, wherefore, holy brethren. We are holy brethren, folks. We're holy brethren because Christ died for us, cleansed us from our sins, and God declared us righteous. And we are holy brethren, brethren with Christ. For look what it says. He is not ashamed to call us his brethren. In fact, in verse number 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And Jesus Christ says to his Father, he says, in the midst of the church, he says, I'm going to praise the name of my Father. I'm going to speak about my Father to my brethren. I am going to tell all my brothers about my Father in heaven, of whom we heard this morning. And then it says this, and again, I will put my trust in him. Again, and behold, I and the children which God hath given me. You know, in verse number 1 of chapter 3, it says, not only are we holy brethren, but it says we're partakers of a heavenly calling. We have a heavenly calling. We've been called from heaven by God to be saved. We've been called from heaven by God to be not only be saved, but to finish the course and spend eternity in heaven, right? We're holy brethren. We have a heavenly calling. And the Bible says we have a profession of faith. And Jesus Christ said he had a profession. You know what his profession was? He says, I'm going to trust my Father. Psalm 16, he says, I'm not going to be moved. He says, I'm not going to be moved. My heart is not going to be moved. I have placed my faith in my Father. I'm going to trust my Father. I'm going to walk by faith. And Paul says, I'm going to live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm going to trust God just as Jesus did. I'm going to trust Jesus. And we have a profession, our profession is, you know what? We believe Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, the Son of Man, our Savior, that died for us, raised again, and saved us from our sin. And we put our faith and trust in him. And Jesus said, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And then it goes on to say this, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, even the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. You know, if you went up to Derek and you said, Derek, man, I struggled in that race. I got tired about halfway through. Derek would say, I know what you went through. I've been there. I've experienced it, right? And you might say, Derek, I got cramps in my legs. I just had to keep. Derek would say, I know how you got cramps. And here's what you do when you get cramps. Derek, I wanted to quit. And Derek would say, yeah, well, you can't quit. You just got to keep going. It's a mental thing. It really is a mental thing. And you could seek his advice, his counsel, and he would be able to encourage you because he's been there. He's been there. I couldn't encourage you. Man, you'd come to me, you'd say, Pastor Meter, I was in the middle of the race and I wanted to quit. I would say, quit. That's what I'd do. If I'm in the middle of a 50-mile race and I get tired, listen, I don't care what you're selling down the end of the road. It's done with, right? Take me to the hot dog stand. I rode my brother. My younger brother used to ride bicycles. And man, he would ride 50, 100 miles all the time. So he was out here one year, and he said, come on, Doug. And I'd been riding a bike back and forth to Mystic. And he said, let's go on a 50-mile bike ride. I says, you got to be kidding me. He says, no, we're going to go 50 miles. I said, all right, let's do it. So we left Norwich, went down Route 2, down to North Stonington, and there's a big hill. What hill is that? There's this huge hill. And we went up this huge hill. And I tell you what, he was not an encouragement. He was I'm walking this bike up the hill. And here he comes, riding up to the top of the hill, coming down again. Oh, you're going to make it up the top of the hill? You know, I mean, just trash talking me the whole way, right? We rode all the way to Jewett City. all the way to Hopeville Pond, right? We get up by Hopeville Pond. We're halfway there, 25 miles. We're halfway there, right? And you know what I saw? I saw this little food stand. And I saw this little place where they were selling food. And you know what they were selling? They were selling fried clams and chocolate milkshakes. You know what I had to do, Ray? Same thing you would do, right? I stopped and I had a big pint of whole belly clams and a large chocolate milkshake. And you know what I had to do, Derek? Ride another 25 miles. You know how that went? Didn't go too good, right? I got down to Preston and it starts pouring, right? My brother turns, he waves, he says, see you later, I'm going back to the house. He rides as quick as he can back to the house. I'm riding the whole way, just wanting to throw up on the side of the road. I get home, he's sitting there in the house all nice and warm and cozy and everything else. And I come traipsing in, and you know what? It was terrible. It was terrible. But you know what? If you ask me for advice, I say, hey, stop and have a soda. Have some clams. You know, get someone to drive your bike back, get a bus, do whatever. But God says, no, I don't want you to quit. I want you to finish the course. And you know, let me give you my 3 points, because it rarely happens that I get to the third one. So let me do this for all you that are taking notes, Crystal, all right? So that you get these 3 notes, so you won't complain when we get home, okay? All right? The first one is, he's our forerunner. You know what the Bible says? In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 6. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 20. Look at what it says. In Hebrews chapter 6, it's telling us to be patient, to endure. And then it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And it says, whither the forerunner is for us entered even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Number one, he's our forerunner. Why should we listen to Jesus Christ? Because he's run the race before us. Because he has run the race before us. When I was growing up in high school, I did go out for cross country, and it was terrible, and I was lousy. I finished last place, or my friend finished last place, and I finished. But we had 2 kids, Billy and Joe Cosgrove. And man, they were 1st and 2nd in the state. They were fast and they were good. And we would just follow the rest of the runners. And they were always in 1st and 2nd. Listen, look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's the forerunner. He's gone before. You know, here's the thing, folks. In Hebrews 1, 2, and 3, God is saying, listen. And you know why he says that? Because he knows how prone we are to think we know it all. I mean, every one of us is a bunch of know-it-alls, right? We hate to listen to someone giving us instructions, don't we? Right? You men know it. You get something from somewhere and a big sheet of paper, all these pictures. Right? I don't need that. I know how to put this together, right? I don't need any instructions. I don't need any help. I don't need to go on YouTube. I don't need to ask anybody. I certainly don't need to ask my wife, even though she's usually the one that has the most sense at the moment. But we think, no, I know it all. You know, older men will try and teach young men how to work, how to do something, right, Ray? We'll try and teach them. We'll say, listen, this is the easy way to do it. Do this. No, I know how to do it. Okay, see for yourself, right? See for yourself. How'd that work out? Blah, 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 blah. Right? Didn't work out so well, did it? You know what? If you had done this, it would have been easier. And God is saying, listen to my son. Be careful to look what it says in chapter 2 and verse 1. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If we let the words of Christ slip, we are going to slip. We are going to falter. We are going to fall. We are going to quit. We are going to walk away from the race. Because Jesus Christ is the one that God sent. That's why it says he's the apostle. He's the messenger with a message that God has sent. Notice in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. And then it says, Christ Jesus. I believe that the word Christ there is linking with the apostle. The word Christ means the one that God has sent. Just as God has sent us into the world to be his messengers, he sent Jesus Christ in the world that through him we would know of God. The Bible says we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 John chapter 5, God says, I sent my Son, the Son of Man, that you might know me, that you might know him that is true. You're in him that is true. He gives us the understanding. When Jesus Christ was here in John 17, he says, Father, I have given them all the words that you've given me. I've told them all about you. Jesus Christ, when he was here, he would talk to his disciples. He would tell the world about his Father. He says, these are the words of my Father. He says, I don't speak of myself. I speak what the Father sent me to say. I do the works that the Father has given me to do. My meat is to finish the work of my Father. My Father, over and over and over and over again. That's why, listen, on Father's Day, it's so important for young men to read the Gospel of John and study the relationship between Jesus Christ and his Heavenly Father. So important. This world today is so messed up, and part of the reason it's so messed up is because the devil has ruined the family relationship and has caused the relationship between fathers and sons to be messed up because Satan doesn't want you to understand the relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ says, I am come to tell you about my Father, my Father, my Father. And boy, I tell you what, he's our forerunner. We ought to listen to him. We ought to listen to Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, not only should we listen to him, but we should look to him. Because look what it says. Number two, he's our forerunner. Number two is not look to him. Number two is he was faithful. Look what it says in verse 2. Here's why we should look to him and consider him. Because he was faithful to him that appointed him. As also Moses was faithful in all his house. But then he goes on to speak about how he was greater in his faithfulness than Moses was. Look what it says in verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for testimony of those things which were to be spoken of after. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing, the hope, firm unto the end. And he says, you know why you should consider Jesus Christ? Because not only is he the apostle that has a message that we're listening to, but he's our great high priest that finished the race, entered into the veil with his precious blood, into the very presence of God with his blood for you and me, sat down at the right hand of God and finished the race. He was faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. And listen, what you need to do is you need to read Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 4, and Hebrews chapter 5. Because you might think, well, that was simple. He's Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. It was easy. No, it wasn't easy for him. It wasn't easy for him because he was the God-man. Yes, he had the divine nature, but he also had a human nature. He was the God-man. And Hebrews chapter 3, as it speaks about listening to Christ, it uses the name Christ. It says, hear Christ, hear the one that I sent. But in Hebrews chapter 4, as we look at Christ, as we look at his example, you know what it says? As it says in verse number 9 of chapter 2, we see Jesus. And then in chapter 4, look what it says. In chapter 4 and verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest. Look at verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Look at verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, listen, it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, when verse number 16 is, you know what it's teaching us? It's teaching us that when we're weary, when we're discouraged, when we're tempted to faint, when we're tempted to quit, when we're tempted to lose faith, when we're tempted to walk away from God, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to stick it out, to finish to the end. And it says, looking unto Jesus. And chapter 5 is looking to our example because it says, you know what? Jesus, the Son of Man, in his humanity, while he walked upon this face of the earth, went through this life, walked this course, finished the course, but it was difficult. And look what it says in verse number 7 of chapter 5. Who in the days of his flesh, you want to know why he can comfort you and strengthen you and help you? Because in the days of his flesh, when he was running his race, he had to offer up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared. And though he was son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And God heard him. But the example is Jesus Christ. And he's saying, listen, I know you're going to get weary. I know you're going to get tired. I know you're going to get discouraged. I know you're going to want to quit. I know you're going to want to turn back and say it's over. I know you're going to want to be like Demas and just forsake it all and walk away. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. He says, I didn't quit. He says, you know what I did instead of quitting? I got down on my knees in that garden that night and I cried my heart out to my Father and I pled with my Father and I says, if there's any way it could be different, let it pass from me. But nevertheless, thy will be done. And I cried with strong crying and tears and the sweat dropped from me like blood. And my Father sent an angel to strengthen me. And my Father heard my prayers and heard my prayers and gave me the strength to get up to finish the course. God says, look to my Son as your example. Because there were times when he wanted to quit. There were times where he said, if there's any way possible for this cup to pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he got down on his knees in that garden. And he began to cry and weep. And he cried unto his heavenly Father. And he said, Father, help me. Help me, I can't go on. Help me, I can't take another step. Help me, I'm tired. I'm weary. My soul is troubled. Help me. God strengthened him to the point where Jesus Christ was able to get up off his knees, turns to his disciples, and say, arise, let us be gone. He that doth betray me is at hand. And he went to the cross. You see, not only do we need to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ because he's our example. Hey, don't look to someone that's quit. Don't look at someone that's fallen by the wayside. Don't look at someone that's failed. Look at the one that's the finisher of our course. He is not only the author, but he is the finisher of our who for the joy that was set before him, despised the cross, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. So number two, we looked at him as example because he was faithful over all that God appointed to him. Listen, God has given us a race, and in that race there's responsibility. In that race, there's challenges. In that race, God has given us tasks to do. And he says, be faithful, be faithful, be faithful to me over which I've appointed you and be faithful to the end. And look, you know, Hebrews chapter 12 is interesting. Hebrews chapter 12 says, you know what? We get all these clouds of witnesses around us. He says, but even there, that whole chapter 11, he says, look beyond them and look to Jesus. Look beyond them and look to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13, well, this gets into the third point. I'm going to give you the third point. This is miraculous tonight. I'm giving you the third point. You ready? Crystal, you ready? Okay, the third point is this. Follow him. Follow him. Follow him. Hebrews chapter 13, it says this. Hebrews chapter 13, it comes down to this. In verse number 7, or verse number 5, Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And then it says this, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Okay, it says, remember those that have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, we might think of that. We might say, well, God is telling us to follow the faith of our pastors and our leaders. No, he's going beyond that, folks. He says he's going beyond that. Because in chapter 1, 2, and 3, he says, here's who I want you to listen to. I want you to listen to my son. I know you've got good examples. I know you've got good men you can follow. I know you've got good women you can follow. I know the examples that have been all around you. He says, but the best example is my son, Jesus Christ. You want to follow someone's faith? Follow the faith of Jesus Christ. Don't follow my faith. My faith is weak, folks. You follow my faith and you'll wind up falling along the wayside. Because I'm just, like we heard this morning, God knows our frame that is but dust, right? He knows how weak we are. He knows how weak our faith. He says, listen, follow the faith of Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Follow him. You know, back in John chapter 21, you don't have to turn there. John chapter 21, before Jesus ascends back into glory, he meets with the disciples on the shore one morning, and he says to them, come and dine. And then he begins to tell them, and he begins to speak to Peter. He begins to talk with Peter. And he's, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, you know I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. And then he begins to tell Peter about how Peter is going to die. And he says, Peter, this is the way that you're going to die. You're going to die by being put upside down. He says, you're going to die that way. And Peter says, well, what about John? What about him? And I love it because the Lord basically says, Peter, that's none of your business. Get your eyes off of him and get your eyes on me. And then Jesus says this. He says, Peter, he says, listen, Peter, simply put, do this. Follow me. Follow me. And he says, if you follow me, this is the way that your life and your death will glorify me. Folks, that's what God wants. God wants us to live for him. He wants us to die for him. He wants us to finish our course that it might bring honor and glory to him. And he says, there's three things you need to do. Number one, you need to listen to the forerunner. You need to listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Number two, you need to watch his example. Watch his example. Because you know what? Words are one thing, but a walk is another thing, isn't it? You can say what you want, but back it up with your life. Jesus Christ not only said the truth, but he lived the truth because he is the truth. And then follow him. Follow him. Don't follow anybody else. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? You'll be able to stand with Paul and say, you know what? My time is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. His appearing. Listen, he's our forerunner. Listen to him. He was faithful unto the end. And number three, we're to follow him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. Encourage us in these days, my Father, we pray. Help us to live for thee, that our lives might glorify thee. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.